This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In this special Father's Day message, Pastor Scott interviews two fathers from New Hope East Hawaii, Tom Asano and Pastor Jaywin Gonzalez, about lessons of fatherhood. This message was recorded on Father's Day, Sunday, June 19, 2016. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Would you thank the fathers for being in church on Father's Day? Man, it's a big deal, you know. I think that's one of the harder things to do is to get men to come and worship God. Because I know for years, man, I wouldn't go. I'd be so hard-headed, and my wife would be the one, the spiritual leader. She would try and lead, and I would be so stubborn. I mean, if you know any Okinawans, you know they can be really hard-headed. And I tell you, I was so stubborn. And Pastor Alex reminds me of my wife being in church in the front row. She would be the one always crying. Not like crying because worship, like crying because her husband was so hard-headed. And so probably a good word would probably be so knuckle-headed because I was not wanting to come to church. I would get up Sunday morning and have my beer and my cigarettes and watch my sports. And I was raising two young children. And I was such a bad dad. I realized that all the things that I was doing was influencing my children in the very wrong way. And I am so thankful that God grabbed the hold of my heart when they were still young, and I could make adjustments so that I could be a better dad. And how many of you, your dads are still alive? Yeah. Man, take the time to let them know how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. Because once they're gone, man, what are you going to do? Love them now, appreciate them now. You know what Jaywin told me this week? He said he had to go up to his dad and said, "You better thank me." Then what? You better thank me. Yeah, because if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be a dad. You couldn't celebrate Father's Day. Like, wow, okay, I learned something. You can tell that to your dad, but don't you dare tell that to your mom. Amen. We got a special treat because we're going to do to the dads what we did to the moms on Mother's Day. How's that? So I'm going to ask Tom and Jaywin to come up here, and would you give them a hand? Because like I said, with the mothers, you know, every year we come up, we take a mom from the Bible, or I ask Auntie Berna, can you come up and share? But like we did for Mother's Day, we had mothers come up, and you heard from them, from their mouth, what being a mother is like. So today, man, we got two awesome guys up here. Yeah, we got some awesome guys, right? And they are going to share with you about being a father and what it's like, what you got to do. Because I tell you what, sometimes being a dad, oh, man, it's not easy. Especially when you follow God and you know the right things to do. You got to really, you know, because they're watching you. And like I said, more things are caught than taught. Amen. So, you know, before we start, we go pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this Father's Day. We celebrate fathers all around the world, and most of all, we celebrate you. Lord, I pray that you would use these fathers this morning to give all fathers hope, courage, and strength to be the godly fathers that you created them to be. Lord, we thank you so much that we get to worship you, our Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys want to draw straws? I think Tom was the winner. He's going first. So Tom has two lovely girls, and they're wonderful, wonderful girls. If you ever got to meet them, one of them is here, Lena. And the other one is in Kansas City, so she gets to watch the Royals play baseball. That's so cool. and she gets to eat some awesome barbecue. She's a dentist, man. How's that? One dentist, one pharmacist is going to be like, oh, that's pretty cool, man.
Very cool.
Free dental work and free medication. Doesn't work like that.
I don't know about that one.
Doesn't work like that. But I wanted to ask Tom this question. You know, it's like being the head of the household. It's not like one big responsibility. And what are some of the things you do, you know, to make sure you lead your family spiritually?
Oh, Pastor Scott. First of all, I just want to say I'm so happy two friends from Oahu, about 14 years ago, we were having dinner, and they said, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? We're staying at the house. And he said, come to church with us.
Okay.
That was about 14 plus years ago. They are no longer here. They're with Jesus, but we love them dearly. First and foremost, as head of the household, I'm not sure you parents out there, but every morning when I wake up, it's still dark. I don't turn on the lights, but when my alarm rings, I turn it off, and I pray.
Amen.
Every morning. And the exciting thing about it is that I know he hears us, and he hears me.
Yes.
I pray for his mercies and his blessings, and I pray for his covering and protection over my entire family. And that's first and foremost every morning, every single day.
Are you willing to adopt any of us?
I don't know about that one.
So that we'll be included in all these.
Well, yeah, it's really exciting. Well, what's most unique about it is that, Sue and I will tell you that we are so blessed.
Amen.
And it's all because of Jesus.
Amen.
And the good counsel that we got.
Yeah.
From Pastor Scott and people like Berna and Pastor Alex. It is so wonderful to have mentors, and all of you should be so feel so blessed to have Pastor Scott and people like Berna and Pastor Alex in your audience. They're so giving and loving people.
You guys got the. You know your notes are empty because we want you to write stuff. So you know if you are a dad or a father, you might want to think, okay, what do I do how do I lead my family spiritually?
Yeah.
Man, the first thing you do when you get up is pray. Pray for them. Pray for your household.
And the second one I'd like to share is that I like to think we set a good example for our family and even our grandson. Whenever we have dinner together, I lead the prayer over dinner and we bless the food and this time of fellowship with our dinner. And I do it every day.
All right.
And every night. And as much as I enjoy fishing, there's a mentor in the audience that has set a good example, and that's Pastor Alex. I've set aside Sunday as a day of family worship. As much as I think some of you men, you enjoy fishing.
A lot of us do.
Before becoming a believer, I might be out camping and fishing today on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I choose to worship with our family, first and foremost.
I think we both learned that from Pastor Alex.
I agree.
Yeah, because he wouldn't go on his boat on Sundays fishing. And we gave up camping on Sundays so that we can be in the house. And you know what? That was a good one because it was so hard to... Because everybody goes fishing on Sunday. But it was so hard to give that up, but it was so worth it.
I agree, and it is a blessing to worship with our family.
Amen.
And many of you don't know because you're not in our home, but every Sunday when I'm here and not away, I'm the first person dressed and ready to go to church on Sunday service.
Yeah.
I'm not sure a little about that, but talk about leading by example. I'm hoping that is something for all of you men.
Yeah.
I get a lot, and I don't want to be saying selfish, but I get fed at Sunday church. So I just want to share that with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, we're going to ask Jaywin one question. Jaywin, this is a tough one. Maybe I ask you this question because this happened to me a lot. Have you ever felt like a failure, and what did you do about it?
It's only tough, this question, if you know more too much for pick from. I get plenty, huh? about a couple years ago, and this is just one instance, yeah, and this was really, really major, and I think a lot of you guys can relate to this. I went on this journey starting this business, and it required a lot of time. You guys who own your own business, or, you know, you guys in management role, you understand how much time it takes. And I put in a lot of work. I work super, super long hours. I mean, a minimum of 80 hours a week. And I would come home, and my kids would be sleeping. I'd leave in the morning. My kids would be sleeping. I was involved in ministries and all this other stuff. I would leave here on Sundays, and my family would go off to do a family day, and I would go back to work. Saturdays, I would work. I mean, it was a good thing. You know, I've never worked this much in my life, so I thought I was doing good, right? Because I've never worked like this before. So people would encourage me and say, wow, you're a hard worker, and I thought I was doing one good thing. But for almost 2 years straight, I neglected my kids, and I only seen them sporadically. And I never even realized what I was doing, you know? So, I mean, literally, some days I would drive to work, and this thing that was one blessing that God gave me, I mean, Pastor Aaron, he gave one sermon about this. He said that sometimes one blessing can turn into one curse, you know, and I had to find balance, and I would be driving to work sometimes, beautiful day, my kids sleeping, and I swear I would cry almost all the way to work because, I mean, I don't even get to see my kids. And what I did about it was Pastor Scott would really encourage me and help me to find balance, and he would check up on me and make sure that I'm spending time with my kids. But realistically, I would just go around and kind of, you know, find little loopholes and fit them in my schedule here and there. And I sat with Doc one day, and Doc, if you guys remember the other week, his thing that he had to give up was time. And time is so precious, yeah, because you kind of get them back. And he sat and he talked with me, and he explained some things about using our time wisely and how we could get certain things done in a period of time if we did them, if whatever we needed to do, if we stopped goofing off, basically, he told me, and got what I did and just set my time limit, I would be fine. And I actually put that into practice, and I started working 8-hour days, but mentally, I wasn't there, like, even after the fact. I would work 8-hour days, I cut down to 6 days, I cut down to 5 days, but even when I was at home, I still wasn't there, you know, in my mind. And, you know, it's something that I had to really, really look at and see what it was, because this is what Pastor Scott told me. He said, your home is your first ministry above everything else, and he gave me an order of how things work. And I've learned that if one thing's out of place, then everything gets all messed up. So what I had to do is prioritize things and put things back into perspective. And I still need work on that. Pastor Alex just told me the other weekend, he says, this thing that we do requires a lot of work and a lot of time. He says, but make sure you you use your time wisely. He says, because you don't like be on the back end trying to make up time. Mm-hmm. And so I really take these things into consideration. And I could name off a whole bunch of things, but this was major because it was really deadly, because you don't even notice them because you're doing something that's good. But I was doing damage to my family, and I really, really felt like I was failing because all I did was work, and I never put off the time. And you could have all the money in the world and all the stuff in the world, but I think the kids rather just spend time.
Good one. Because, you know, we can make excuses saying that, oh, I got to make the money so that my family can eat. But a lot of times, they just want us. Good one. Next one to Tom. You know, as a dad, spiritual leader, head of the household, man, there's so many things here we go through. And even myself, but have you ever felt like you let your family down? Because I know, even as a pastor, I come across that point where I did something and I feel like, oh, I just blew it. I let them down. And what are some of the things that you do to get through it and to make sure that everybody gets through it with you?
Many years ago, before we became believers, Sue and I were workaholics from morning to nighttime. We worked and we had two children. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, what's exciting for me was that I got to work with Sue. But, you know, the work just enveloped our life day in and day out. And this is when our kids were young, before we became believers. And our younger daughter, Ashley, she was in elementary school. And one afternoon, a school day, I was so engrossed with my work that I lost track of time. I don't know if that happened to you, but it did to me. And I got a call, and one of my office staff called and said, there's a telephone call for you. And it was Ashley's principal of the elementary school. I had forgotten to pick up my daughter.
Ooh. Did that.
You know, I don't know if that ever happened to you, but...
Yeah.
Oh, that really broke my heart. I just dropped everything. Everything. And sorry, that's a flashback again. you know, I jumped in my car and I cried all the way back to the school. And lo and behold, there's Ashley and the principal. And you know what? She wasn't crying. I was.
Yeah, they're all good, yeah?
You know, it really touched my heart. And that was many, many years ago. But, you know, that evening when Sue came home, we chatted and I explained. Of course, word got out that I forgot to pick up Ashley. But we discussed that things had to change, and it was decided that I would look for another employment elsewhere. And about a few months later, I did. I found a job that was more sane, in a sense. No reflection to my associate here. But, you know, it really hit home. And I'm not sure if that ever happened to you, but, you know... Really, I can, although it was so many years ago, I can still remember that time. Mm. But that was before we got to know Christ. Mm. And now we have Jesus to follow. Mm-hmm. His directions, how shall I say, are always a blessing. By reading his word, he will guide you. He will, I guess we can call it direct you.
Amen.
But he will speak to you. One word to you, fathers. Open your heart to him and let him in.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I did that when I didn't know they got off half day and one day, and I showed up to pick them up like 2:30, and there was nobody there, and I think it was Brittany. She was waiting there so patiently, and I was like, oh, why didn't you tell me you had half day? Like, you know, I'm supposed to know, I guess, right? But, oh, I know that feeling. It's like panic after the fact, though. Oh, and I feel like, wow.
I'm so happy to have Jesus in my life now.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Jaywin. Life is hard following Christ. That's why we do it, because it's wonderful. But how do you keep yourself from going backwards?
Okay, first of all, I just like to say that I did that too. But the only difference between me and you guys is that I'm cool. I left my son, the same son, and it got to be his fault because he's the only one that gets left behind, right? I left him once at church, which is a really fun place, right? And I left him at the ice shave stand once. So at least I never leave him at school. You
and,
know what
and
I mean?
You know, like, you
nobody
see,
wants to be stuck in school.
When he got left over here, he has no care in the world. He's happy. He's okay.
But I warned you. I told you, if I leave one of my kids, just return them, right?
I thought you was joking. I really thought you was joking.
So for me, and the difference was I was already in Christ and I did that. For keep from going backwards, you know, to be real honest and real straight up, and this is one of the things that keep me grounded is being here. It helps me from going backwards. I attend the discipleship class, the Bible study. I attend Wednesday nights. I attend men's ministry. We do devotion certain days, and this is not like religious acts just to say I'm involved or just to say, oh, I'm in with the homies or, you know, anything like that. I don't do them like that. These are the things that I get together with Pastor Scott, and I sit down with Pastor Alex in the mornings, Sunday mornings, and he share with me wisdom. I can talk to Pastor Aaron. I talk with Grant. I talk with Tom. I talk with all these different resources, and these are the guys that teach me how to be a father, how to progress, and when I say, oh, man, I mess up, I've never gotten one, you know, like when weird look like, oh, my God, you failed. You know, it's always been, I did that one. This is how we got through this. You know, right here where we at, we get such great resources with the people that we have because, you know, it's not we come here Sunday, we get our check mark, and we leave. I mean, we sit down, we fellowship. That's the purpose of the eating afterwards. I've been enlightened with so much wisdom sitting in the back table over some chicken, you know. I mean, I've been so blessed to fellowship with people, real fellowship, you know, not just, oh, hi, how you doing? Love you. Okay, see you next Sunday. I mean, real fellowship, sitting with people and sharing, you know, life together, just genuinely doing life as they guide us, you know, in their failures and their shortcomings that teach me that I shouldn't do that, you know, or what I should do. So I know gotta make the mistakes. So being here really, really has been a very big blessing and has helped me moving forward because I know gotta go out to the world or out to other places to seek, you know, to seek counsel. I get one wealth of knowledge right here.
All right. I bet you the kind talking to Uncle Yuki was good, yeah.
You would be amazed, man. You know, just one short one. Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys, that guy has so much knowledge about this island and the roads, and he helped design and do some of those things for the roads. I mean, he knows about the eruptions in Kalapana and what would happen and where they was going to put the roads and if this was going to happen. They had plans from the 60s on what they was going to do, and he was on part of that. This guy had so much knowledge that I was so blessed to sit with and only got one small fracture of him, you know. And that's the part that saddens me. It's like, man, he had so much that he took with him that he never get for share. And get so much wisdom right here in this church right now that we're not even scratching yet, you know. So when I come, it's not because I nosy, you know. It's not because I nosy and ask you guys questions. It's because I seek you guys' wisdom. And that's why I sit down and I talk and I ask questions. You know, I'm not trying to pry into your life, but you guys get something that I like, so I'm going to ask for it.
Right. Amen. Okay, Tom, last question for you. What words of wisdom could you offer to us fathers?
Wow. To all you fathers, your presence here this morning speaks volumes.
Amen.
Not only to Jesus, but to your family.
Yeah.
Really. Seek God's counsel. I'm not a pastor, but I learned from pastors. Read his word. But, you know, ask him for guidance, and he will direct your path. I'm sure I'm no different from many of you. You know, we have burdens, things that trouble us. But you know, I've learned, and it has helped me, and I'm hoping it will help you if not already done so. Mm. When you feel burdened or troubled, give it to Jesus.
Amen.
Really. And he will make your burden light. As a father, you have children. And if they're of younger age, you know, if they are in some type of sport activity, show some interest and go. Mm-hmm. And support them. And you know what? Be their loudest cheerleader.
Yes. And don't call them on their mistakes. Yeah.
You can ask our younger daughter, Ashley. She was very active in sports and things. She did water polo. Our friends, her friends actually in the water polo, they knew where her father was because of the sounds that came out. But you know what? Cheer your youngest ones or your children, whatever sports. Second to the last, help around the house.
Yeah.
I'm not a chef, but you know what's exciting about it? I learn from chefs. But you know, I'm happy to say if Sue's not around for dinner time, hopefully our children and our grandchild won't starve because at least I can make something that's fairly edible.
Yeah.
And you know what? If need be, wash some clothes.
Yeah.
We might all laugh, but
look to your right and say that.
So this is as a father and a friend.
We just threw you under the bus, Jimmy.
You want my lunch?
You need to show that you care,
yeah.
Really.
And
they know if it's coming from your heart.
Amen.
Even if you burn some food.
Yeah. And
when was the last time you told your child or even your wife you loved her?
Yeah. Really. This morning.
It should be.
Amen. Yes.
They need to know that you care and you love them. And lastly, I'd like to leave on a very good note. Have the joy of the Lord in you.
Yes.
Tithe regularly and be blessed abundantly. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. I think that's why God chose you to be up here. And like I told you earlier, real men cry. Real men cry, so it's okay.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
Sorry to take the mic. I'd like to let you know that, you know, before we became believers over 14 plus years ago, I come from a different faith, and I have never, during my waking years, heard my dad say to my mom, "I love her. I love you." And let alone it, even to me. And as believers and as members of New Hope Christian Fellowship, I've come to know that we are a very affectionate family. And the first time that happened, I was taken aback because it was not part of my culture. But I want to say I love you all. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, Jaywin, this is a tough one. How do you protect your family spiritually?
I protect my family spiritually by studying. Okay, I mean, all these answers, they sound so religious, yeah, but they're very, very irreligious. I mean, I study, and I study, and my children and I, we live out in the world, and there's other people from other faiths and other denominations and, you know, other things that they try and confuse, yeah? And they go and they seek out my family sometimes and they tell them things and they ask them questions and they tell them stuff like they're going to go to hell and they're going to die by one certain age, you know? And you know those things, when I was younger, those are the things that made me not want to be involved in this spiritual stuff because it was spooky, it was very condemning, all of these things was just rough. You know, and people, they were kind of creepy sometimes, yeah? and so I've studied the word, and I've been involved, you know, and that way I could lead my family. And when they come, and they ask these questions, and they say, hey, this person said this, this, this. I might not always have the answers, but I know somebody who does. Mm-hmm. Or I can go out and search so I can lead my family correctly because, you know, like people straying away your family. And sometimes could happen even in church. You know, and it's important, you know, as Pastor Alex would say and as Pastor Scott would say, says, hey, you got to protect your sheep. So knowing what the word says, man, I can do that correctly. I can guide and lead my family and at the same time protect them. Mm-hmm. Just recently, after I've been doing this for a few years, only last week, our family in our house, you know, get like, and even some from outside of the house, they come and we do a Bible study, you know, on Tuesday nights. We get together and we do a Bible study. And I believe that that protects my family. And you know what? They came and they sought me out to do that. I never said, hey, guys, get together. We're getting together, Bible study. We'd never talked about that. My mother-in-law, my wife, my brothers, they said, hey, let's do something. And I'm not going to ever say no. You know, so this is what I believe. If you like protect your family spiritually, you got to be equipped spiritually.
Amen.
If you like protect your family physically, you got to be equipped physically. And it's the same with the spiritual. So, you know, I've never arrived at any place yet. I've never even scratched the surface mm-hmm. of what God can show me. And I'm going to continue pressing on that I could protect my family and also my spiritual family. Mm-hmm.
All right, so fathers, it's important that you spiritually be equipped to protect your family because if you're not, then the enemy will come and try and get them and steal them away. We don't want that to happen. Amen. Okay, thank you guys so much. Would you give them a hand? Thank you so much. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Love you. Thanks, Tom. Love you. Well, we're going to end with a video, so if you can get that ready. I would like to share just this last bit. As you know, my dad passed away on June 1st, and it's always I always remember what the last things I said to him when he left here, because he came for my daughter's graduation, and when he left at the airport, I said, bye, Dad, I love you. That was my last words to my dad. So I was like, I can always think like, wow, I finished well. And I told him that I love him. Because, you know, us Orientals, we don't tell people we love them enough. You know, and like Tom said, growing up, you don't hear that from your parents. And I never heard that from my parents. So I tell my children I love them every chance I get, and my wife. So dads, do that often. This is a video put together with our Foursquare pastors, our worship leaders. I'm not on there because you had to sing good to be in this video. So no offense taken, but it is a great video. And they showed this at our conference, and I just want to share that with you. Sing along by all means, okay? Go ahead.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma, Tom Asano, and Pastor Jaywin Gonzalez of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.